Well, you're a bunch of hugging people, aren't you? If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, this is a time in which we try to answer questions that are put in the offering plate. And once again, I want to encourage any of you that if you have a question, to go ahead and write it out and put it in the offering plate, and we'll try to get to it as soon as we can. This is to hopefully make Scripture relevant to you. And sometimes pastor may be preaching in a message, but there are certain questions that are just hovering over you, just wanting to get them answered. So we give you that opportunity. The particular question that was posed to us in this question slip was, where did marriage come from? It's a good question. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus, in talking about divorce, as he's being questioned about divorce, goes back to the origination of the relationship of man and woman. And though, you know, through time, man has twisted and distorted and convoluted in many ways this relationship of husband and wife, God had a purpose right from the very beginning. Our thought is, well, maybe he's changed, but that's impossible. God's immutable. He never changes. And so when he tells us this is the way it should be, well, that's the way it should be. And that's, he hasn't changed his mind. The same thing is true as some of the Pharisees who have once again distorted this whole relationship. What we know is that they had actually written in their laws that if their wife burned their meal, they could get rid of her. So they had all kinds of ways that could make them look righteous in getting rid of their spouse. And Jesus says from the beginning, this was not so. He writes this in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 4. He answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Now his statement by this is not only stating the obvious, but it's also emphasizing that one man, one woman. In other words, he didn't say made them male and females, or males and female. He's saying there was just one man and one woman in the singular. And what he's emphasizing is a devotion to each other. God made it so that this man would be devoted to this woman and this woman be devoted to this man. And he said, verse 5, for this cause, actually quoting from Genesis 2, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now what's great about this particular text is if you go back that far in Genesis, there were no mothers and fathers around. But he was actually giving a command before fathers and mothers even existed. It was just Adam and Eve. And he says, for this reason, you shall leave your mother and father. And you see Adam going, yeah, what's a father? You know. But the point was, is he was establishing the marriage relationship as the most relationship, the most important relationship that you'll have on this earth. That's quite a statement, isn't it? The first relationship that was had was man and wife. The most important was that relationship. And it was a devotion to one another. And it was signified by a cleaving to each other. That is this sense of devotion and loyalty to this one person. And what we don't understand at this juncture, what we will understand when we come to Ephesians chapter 5, is that God was giving us a picture of his devotion to us. As a man should be devoted to his wife, and of course Adam failed grossly, because when his wife then did come into sin and was ashamed and fell, instead of covering her and protecting her, he exposed her. He said it was a woman who did this. And God comes and he does the covering. What we read in Ephesians chapter 5 is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That is to say, a sacrifice. You ought to be willing to die for your wife. So the description of this relationship is clear at the very beginning. Now, the word marriage didn't come along till quite some time. And if you turn all the way back to Isaiah chapter 62, which, by the way, isn't the first place that the word marriage is used, but there are actually different words in the Hebrew for marriage. One of the first places I actually saw the word marriage was found in Exodus 21 in verse 10. And in that particular chapter, you don't need to turn there. We're actually in Isaiah 62. I'm just giving you other references. But in Exodus, in that particular passage, the Hebrew word that's used is onah, which that particular Hebrew word refers to cohabitation. That is to say that there's a conjugal relationship. So in a respect, marriage makes reference to that relationship. And once again, as we go back to the very beginning, one man, one woman. There are other texts in which the word eshah is used, Numbers chapter 36, which makes reference to the woman and her devotion to her husband. In this particular text, in Isaiah 62, he's going to use the word, which we actually have a hymn written, Beulah land. And Beulah means married. Actually, the way it's pronounced in the Hebrew is Baal, where we get the word Lord. And the emphasis of it is that the husband is to be the keeper or the Lord over the woman, more specifically, the protector. Now, what man does is, once again, he distorts that word Lord and thinks, well, now I can lord it over and I can be, you know, I can get this and tell her to do that. But that's not the purpose of the word. The purpose of the word is to refer to someone who is caring for the person under them. And the Lord uses this word specifically to demonstrate his desire to care for Israel. If you'll pick up with me in Isaiah 62, it'll begin this way. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like the torch that is burning. In other words, I have a desire for Israel. And he's conveying this devotion to this one that he loves. And the nations will see your righteousness and kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. So you will also be crowned with beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said of you, forsaken. Who wants to be forsaken? Who wants to be rejected? Who wants to not have somebody? Nor to your land it will no longer be called desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, Baal, Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. You go, well, what is this relationship of marriage like? He then describes, for as a young man marries a virgin. Well, he's describing an exclusive relationship, isn't he? Of two people that are wholly devoted to each other. And the young man is just head over heels for this woman. That's what marriage is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that kind of relationship. So your sons will marry you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. God has given us a relationship to describe his love for us and how wonderful and intense that is. Father, we give you thanks for your word that displays to us the meaning of all these things, but more than that, shows us your marvelous love for us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.